Okay, so for the first part of this evening, Lauren has been talking to us about the difficult and painful aspects of life and how we can learn to respond to them more skillfully with the practice of compassion. So now it's time to turn our attention to the practices of appreciative joy and sympathetic joy. And so these are the practices where metta is turning towards pleasure and joy. And so with appreciative joy, it's the attitude of metta turning towards pleasure and joy within ourselves, that's happening to ourselves. And sympathetic joy is that same attitude of kindness turning toward joy and good fortune in another person. And there a little bit different in their emphasis, closely related, but a little bit different in the phrases that are used and that sort of thing. So I'm going to start out first by talking about appreciative joy, which is concerned with our own responses to what's pleasant and joyful in our lives. Now, our initial reaction to this might be kind of, well, you know, why do we need some sort of special practices to deal with what's joyful and pleasant? It's just, that's great, you know, just keep it coming. But I think, as we know from what we've heard earlier in the class and from our own experience, that pleasant experiences bring their own set of challenges. They aren't always so easy to deal with as we might think. And, you know, our natural inclination when something pleasant and happy arises is to move toward that experience, to try to grab onto it, to see what we can do to keep it, to get more of it, to make it more intense. And so, you know, actually this anxious, greedy, tense feeling that can arise about around trying to hang on to this pleasant thing can keep us from even appreciating the pleasant thing that we have. And then, of course, you know, the pleasant thing sooner or later is going to change or go away. Inevitably, that's going to happen. And when that does, if we have this clinging and craving attitude, we find ourselves really in a world of hurt, you know, upset, angry, desperate to get the pleasant thing back, just really stuck in this pain of unsatisfied craving. And we know that that is a terrible place to be. And so that kind of approach to what's pleasant isn't the way that we want to live. Another thing we can do when we have, you know, some sense of this pain of craving, but maybe not quite as much wisdom as we would like to have yet, is to, when something pleasant arises, feel like we ought to withdraw from it, avoid it, with the idea that if we stay away from it, then we won't feel any kind of desire, and then we won't get ourselves into trouble, and we'll be okay that way. And certainly there's some cases where that actually is a good thing to do. If we have something pleasant going on that really attracts us and draws us, but we know that it isn't really good for us and it's harmful for us, or if it's something that, you know, we just can't handle and we can't just take the little bit that's okay and we can't leave it alone, then it really is a good thing maybe to withdraw and avoid. But withdrawing and avoiding to everything that's beautiful and pleasant is certainly not a good philosophy of life. So the practice of appreciative joy offers us an alternative. Rather than grasping onto the pleasant or turning away from it for fear that we might get caught in craving, maybe we can train ourselves to respond to it with an attitude of appreciation and gratitude, and have this sense of, well, it's wonderful that this is here, and appreciate that this is here, and yet at the same time have the wisdom to recognize that this beautiful thing too is impermanent and it's not going to last forever. And in terms of oneself, this is a really important attitude to develop. It helps us to avoid the pain of being caught in craving, and it also really helps us to actually stop and recognize the beautiful and pleasant things that are there in our lives. You know, sort of a lot of the time we overlook what is really beautiful and pleasant because our attention is so much focused on the things that we don't have and that we lack and we think that we need to have to be happy. So all of the small, really pleasant things we take for granted and don't really notice. But as we begin to cultivate appreciation and gratitude, we maybe feel more that there actually is a lot of pleasant and beautiful things in our lives. There's a lot to be joyful about, and we feel more of the richness of our lives than the lack. And we may begin to have a feeling that actually, you know, we have what we need. We don't really need so very, very much. And we can also think of this practice, too, as a way of giving ourselves time to actually see pleasant as pleasant. So, you know, this pause before rushing, the pause before rushing to grasp, the pause before rushing to plan how we can get more. So just being able to just be with the pleasant as the pleasant and let feelings of joy, appreciation, and gratitude just, you know, naturally arise with this just opening to the pleasant as pleasant. So with this practice of appreciative joy that focuses on oneself, and in the formal practice, it's similar, you know, to metta and similar to compassion, and we can use these different phrases to help cultivate this attitude. So we can begin now to do a little bit of this practice, get just a little taste of this practice for ourselves. So you can just get into a comfortable position, close your eyes if you want to, and turn your attention to yourself. And just take a moment to reflect on some of the things in your life that bring you joy and happiness. Maybe these are things like your friends and family, a job that's satisfying, being in good health, or maybe it's really small, simple things like that good morning cup of coffee or the sight of the leaves turning bright colors outside of your window. Whatever it is, you know, just kind of tune into those things. Getting a sense of that feeling of joy and appreciation. And then you can begin by repeating to yourself one or more of these phrases that I'll repeat, or a modification that works for you. May I appreciate the joy and happiness I experience. May I appreciate the pleasant things in my life. May I appreciate my good fortune. May I be filled with gratitude. In your own way, having that sense, may I appreciate the beauty and joy in my life. May I be filled with gratitude. So that gives you a little taste of that practice. And I think this practice of appreciative joy is also one that's a really good and easy one to practice informally, of just kind of noticing as you go through your everyday life the things that bring you joy and stopping for a moment to appreciate them and feel grateful for them. Or, you know, little practices like the end of the day, thinking of things that you were grateful for. So you can do it that way as well as doing some of it on the cushion. So now that's appreciative joy. So now we turn our attention to the practice of sympathetic joy. And with sympathetic joy, we're cultivating our ability to feel joy for the happiness of other people. And, you know, sometimes this is something that arises quite naturally with people that are close to us, but it isn't always our first reaction. Sometimes when something good happens to somebody else, our first reaction might be feeling some kind of jealousy and envy that they're having something that's so good, and we're not. Or sometimes, especially if it's happening to someone that we might consider a sort of a difficult person, we might think, well, you know, this person, they don't deserve all of this good fortune. What have they done to, you know, have all this happiness or have all these good things happen to them? It shouldn't be that way. It isn't right. It isn't fair. Or sometimes, you know, we might not feel anything especially negative about the other person. And we might be kind of, well, you know, that's fine if they have these good things. That's not a big problem, but why can't I have them too? And so, you know, there's this sort of feeling where it isn't really so much about that other person, but it's more this feeling of our own lack, maybe a sense of feeling sorry for ourselves, or maybe feeling there's something wrong with ourselves, this sort of, you know, why can't I have these things? Don't I deserve these things? Or maybe I don't deserve these things. All these kinds of feelings can arise. So with the practice of sympathetic joy, we're trying to kind of encourage, instead of these sort of feelings, more an ability to feel gladness for that other person's happiness. And if we're feeling metta or kindness toward that person anyway, this attitude can come about very naturally when we turn the metta towards times when they're having good fortune and happiness. And I think that the practice of appreciative joy also helps us to be able to have the sympathetic joy too, because if we have a sense of what's beautiful and good in our own lives and a feeling of appreciation for that and a sense that, you know, we actually do have a lot to be grateful for, it's easier to feel happy for others. You know, we aren't feeling this sense that I don't have anything. It's more like I have a lot to be happy about, and I'm happy that you have it too. So it works, you know, it works together with sympathetic joy. So just as in the other practices, with sympathetic joy, we have phrases that help to incline the mind toward feeling happiness, towards another happiness. And so these are different phrases from the appreciative joy phrases, and we do this practice also with the different individuals, going from the easy to the hard. We don't include ourselves, but we include the traditional progression, you know, with a benefactor, dear friend, neutral person, and difficult person. So I'll give you a chance to do a little bit of a taste of this practice also. And so again, getting into a position that's comfortable for you, relaxing the body, and then choose an individual to start with. And ideally, this should be like a friend or a benefactor that's experiencing some joy or good fortune in their life. So it makes sense to be, you know, feeling happy for their good fortune and happiness. And it's good also to choose someone that naturally their happiness makes you feel happy. So, you know, something like that very easy person that we chose when we did metta is a good choice. Maybe a child is good, a pet, something like that might be good. So bring an image of this individual to mind, having a sense of who this is. And you might even picture them enjoying whatever good experience they're having now, or enjoying something that you know makes them really happy. So getting in touch with that. And then helping to encourage these feelings with the phrases. And I'll give you some samples that you can repeat to yourself or modify to suit your own needs. May your good fortune continue and increase. May your happiness continue and increase. I'm happy for your joy and success. I'm happy that you are happy. May you enjoy and appreciate your good fortune. Continuing in your own way. May your good fortune continue and increase. I'm happy that you're happy. May you enjoy and appreciate your good fortune. Now, turning your attention and trying for just a short period with a person who is, or a being who is a more neutral individual. Somebody that you don't know so well. This may be a little bit more difficult. But bringing a person to mind that you might use. Somebody you see in your neighborhood. Something like that. A male person, bus driver. Bringing this person to mind. Not really knowing about their life, you don't necessarily know their good fortune, but reflecting that everybody wants to be happy and having a sense of joy that they may experience. And then offering them the phrases. May your good fortune continue and increase. I'm happy for your joy and success. May you enjoy and appreciate your good fortune. I'm happy that you are happy. Doing the best you can. Knowing that this may feel kind of dry or indifferent, but letting that be okay. And then perhaps just reflecting on the difficult person. Not trying to do the phrases for them yet, but just thinking about a person that's difficult for you. And maybe reflecting that if they had more joy in their life, if they could recognize and appreciate the joy in their life, maybe they wouldn't be so difficult. Perhaps thinking of that as an opening to bring the practice even where there's difficulty. May all beings experience joy, beauty, and happiness. And feel appreciation and gratitude for these blessings. So that's a very quick taste of these practices. And, you know, remembering that at home, you don't have to go through all the people. You can choose one category and work with that one day, use another category and work with it another day, and also work with them in a very informal way as joyful or happy things come up for you and for other people. And so with that, I'm going to turn the floor back over to Susan so we have some time for discussion.